Shabbat Shalom. We're glad you could be with us tonight. I'm Dr. Todd Baker, a pastor teacher at Shalom Shalom Congregation and director of Berit Chadasha Ministries here in Dallas, Texas. Sorry that we got started late. We were just finishing last minute touches on our slide presentation. I want to thank Nicholas Hayes and Greg Hartwig for helping out with this slide presentation and the photographs. I'm not exactly adept at technology like Greg and Nicholas are, so we thank them for helping us out every time we come back from Israel and do these presentations. But it's so important because you need to see who we are talking to, that we're not just coming up with stories out of thin air, that the money that you use to support this ministry, this is the fruit of it, folks. The precious Jewish people hearing the gospel of Yeshua, most of them for the very first time, and the Arab people as well, both nominal Christian and Muslim. So, but before we get into part two of our 59th Gospel Outreach to Israel presentation, part two, let me just say that we meet every Friday evening at 6 p.m. Central Time here at Northwest Bible Church. We meet on the third floor of the Christian Life Center building, room 301. The church is at 8505 Douglas Avenue, Dallas, Texas, zip 75231. If you'd like to join us, we would love to have you. If you want to become a member, one who frequently attends this congregation, then we would ask you to know the Lord, be born again, believe in the gospel for salvation, and adhere to the historic essentials of the Christian faith, or at least be open to receiving that teaching and agree with our doctrinal statement of our ministry, which is a reflection of those historic essentials. And we have to do that because, unfortunately, we've had some noxious and toxic people coming in here, believing strange things and not willing to repent over them, and making grandiose claims that they're apostles and prophets, neither of which exist today. Those offices have already been fulfilled and completed once the foundation of the church was laid and the canon of scripture was completed. Do a broadcast called Search the Scriptures most every Thursdays, late morning, early afternoons, and currently we are in a series based upon my book, The Eclipse of Evil, How the Cross and Resurrection Answer the Problem of Evil. We're doing a study of the problem of evil and how it can be answered from a Christocentric perspective, and that is going to be later offered as a class under the apologetics category at Schofield Institute, which I'm privileged to teach at. And one of our colleagues here, Bobby Hayes, is a professor of church history there, and he's currently earning his doctorate. So both of us can attest to the wonderful courses that Schofield offers, and Bible-based courses. And if you're interested in earning a master's or a doctorate, then you can contact our wonderful chancellor, Dr. Daniel Woodhead, and you can call him at 877-706-2479 or at schofieldinstitute.org. Too many of these Bible colleges and seminaries, even the so-called conservative and evangelical ones, have really embraced some disturbing doctrine. And now we've even got some that are even accepting transgenderism and homosexuality, both of which God condemns in his word. And it's just, we need to get back to the basics, and we need to get back to the word of God. You need to know scripture. You need to know church history. And if you are so grounded in the word of God and you sit under sound biblical teachers, that goes a long way to being a retardant or prohibiting you falling into error or, God forbid, some damnable heresy. So we're glad you could be with us tonight. We left off last time in our 59th Gospel Outreach to Israel presentation when we had just arrived in Jerusalem. And again, I'm happy to say that Dr. August Rosato of Today in Bible Prophecy accompanied me once again on this trip. Now, we will be going back to Israel in April. Our dates are April 12th through the 26th. And folks, if you want to learn more about this ministry, you can go to our website, toddbaker.org. We also have our quarterly newsletter. This is our fall 2025 newsletter. And this, we recount some of the memorable witnessing encounters we had with the Israelis on our September outreach, the 58th outreach. This is our 59th, and look for our winter spring newsletter sometime in February. We're a little late on that, but let's get into what the Holy Spirit did and where the Lord led us as we once again by the Spirit's power and boldness approaching people. Listen, I'm by nature introverted. I don't like to be around a lot of people. But when you're in Israel, that's the anointing is on you. You are very gregarious. You are outgoing. You have no problems coming up to strangers because we know what's at stake. These precious people need the gospel, whether Jew or Gentile. And the church should be, its business should be about evangelism and discipleship. Everything else outside of that is superfluous. So let's get into this. So we're at the Mamilla Mall, and the Spirit of the Lord led us into a Chanel perfume store to converse with a Brazilian Jewish young lady, Ruthie. We weren't going in there to buy perfume, that I can tell you. Our witness to her first emphasized the miraculous regathering of the Jewish people back to the land of Israel he gave them. We cited Ezekiel 37, the vision of the Valley of Dry Bones. And yet there are people in the church who want to make that the church. Well, it isn't. It's Israel. And we told her that this regathering in our day, modern day, is a fulfillment of end time prophecy that will eventually bring back Messiah's return to this land. But we told Ruthie, you don't have to wait till then. You can know this Messiah now and receive him in Yeshua of Nazareth, which Scripture has declared boldly and explicitly to be both Adon and Mashiach, Lord and Messiah. Ruthie's mind and heart opened up to hear this, and she was, the Spirit of God opened her, made her receptive so that she affably listened and took a copy of the Scriptures in Hebrew from us and Messianic reading materials with joy. Pray for Ruthie that she will drink from the spiritual saving waters of Yeshua freely, offered without money or price, as Isaiah 55:7 and Revelation 21:6 tells us. Salvation is a free gift. And you have to emphasize that over there because they are rabbinic Judaism. It's not biblical Judaism, what they believe. It's rabbinic Judaism. It teaches that you must continue to do mitzvah, good works, to at least hope you make it on the day of judgment. But salvation is not something that can be earned or worked for. As we know, it is a free gift. That's taught in the Old Testament. I just quoted you one from Isaiah and the New Testament, and I quoted Revelation. But it's all throughout the Scriptures. So, moving on. August Rosado and I had we, of course, went down to the Kotel to pray. And can you tell me what this is, what site this is? This is the Mount of Olives, where there is a graveyard there. This is the Church of the Ascension, where tradition says the Lord Jesus ascended to heaven. We did a teaching up there one year after a day of evangelism, and we had to rebuke a Russian Orthodox Jew who kept interrupting our teaching because they you can't say anything up there. You have to be quiet all the time. And I finally told her, you should be glad we're bringing the Word of God back into the land and teaching it. But anyway, that's actually on YouTube, I think, on August YouTube channel. And there's yours truly standing at the place where the prophet Zechariah tells us the Lord Jesus will descend and his feet will touch on the Mount of Olives. And in that day, the Mount of Olives will split in two. And did you know in the late 60s, Israeli seismologists and geologists discovered that the African Valley Rift goes under the Mount of Olives. Coincidence? I think not. So everything is being set up for our Lord's return. And we pray it's sooner rather than later. Amen. And so we know that Zechariah 12:10, when the Lord returns to the Mount of Olives, the Jewish nation will recognize him. How will they recognize him? Well, to quote Michael Card in his great song, he will be known by the scars. They shall look upon me, whom they've pierced. So that always takes my breath away when we're walking toward the Western Wall to pray for y'all and to take prayer lists there. And here's Dr. Rosato and myself standing in front of the menorah that they light, awaiting. This was Erev Hanukkah, the eve of Hanukkah. And there we are at the, I also do a very brief teaching on prayer or the temple or something related to that whenever I'm at the wall. You can see that on my Facebook page or YouTube. All right. And there's another good picture of the wall. Like how you brought out the color of this. Good job. Beautiful. It's like a painting almost. All right, so the next day, August Rosato and I had satisfying gospel ministry at the Malka Mall in Jerusalem. He and I met Nofar in the Yves Rocher skincare shop. I asked her how to pronounce it. I'm horrible with French, and I think she said Yves Rocher, which I believe they have some of those here. It's a upper-scale skincare shop. Nofar was delighted to hear that we frequently travel to Israel to share, to stand pray and support the Jewish people and share with them the good news of Yeshua HaMashiach. We said that the God of Israel has sent Yeshua, the Messiah, to the Jewish people to bring them salvation in the eternal benefits of the new covenant, Jeremiah 31:31-34. We further told her that God gave proof He is the Messiah by the very specific prophecies in the Tanakh. Nofar expressed delightful surprise as we showed her several of these prophecies that she saw for the first time from our reliable pamphlet, The Prophesied Messiah. Nofar told us how much she appreciated our coming to the land to bring her this good news about the Messiah Yeshua of the Jewish Bible. Needless to say, she was more than happy to accept a Hebrew Bible from us. Check that out. She wasn't just, oh yeah, I'll take, she was very eager to hear this and to learn about these messianic prophecies that nobody else in the Jewish history has fulfilled. Which reminds me, August and I did a teaching at Rabbi Akiva's tomb in Tiberias, and there I made the statement, and I have the research to back it up, that the Jewish people so far in their history have accepted about 43 false messiahs. They're all, the latest would be Menachem Schneerson, the late Menachem Schneerson, who died in 1994 or the early 90s, and he was born in the Ukraine. And the one messiah who truly fulfilled these prophecies, they consider false from the outset for the last 2,000 years. Them as a nation. Okay, so, all right, moving on. Another similar and joyous witnessing encounter occurred when August and I shared Yeshua the Messiah with Roni, R-O-N-I. Her name, by the way, in Hebrew means joy. Or rejoice, and she literally embodied that to us, showing uninhibited joy and happiness about God's redemption and prophetic plan for Israel, as revealed in the Hebrew Bible. She repeatedly thanked us for coming to Israel with this message. We also left her with a complete Jewish Bible and Messianic prophecy study materials. Amen. So we thank the Lord for that. On a side note, her father is in Chicago. Lucrative businessman, and she was thinking about moving to Chicago, and we jokingly told her, no, don't move to the murder capital of the United States. And she laughed, but she was very open, very appreciative. And I'm noticing more and more when we witness to the younger Israelis, they're not nonplussed or indifferent. They're surprised, excited, and eager to learn about Yeshua the Messiah from their own Bible. Amen. All right. Well, we went back to the hotel, and we were able to give gospel witness with Rhea at the front desk of our hotel. She helped us with an internet problem. So we, in return, gave her the saving word of God out of gratitude and appreciation. She received a Bible and Arabic gospel tract with touched emotions. Check that out. And she gives us the thumbs up. Amen. So we had an internet issue. And Greg, I didn't call you because it was at 2 a.m. So no, I'm kidding. No, she was very helpful in helping us out with that. And part of the problem was the hotel was jam-packed. It was a holiday, Hanukkah, and everybody was using the internet at the same time. So when we were downloading my report and the teaching video we did that day, it took several hours, whereas before it'd take only several minutes. And she helped us see that, and she was right about it. Okay, the next day, by the way, she's not pictured here, but as we were leaving the Dan Hotel, Rama, who is the director of guest relations at the hotel, approached us as we were walking out of the hotel, approached us to see how our stay at the Dan Jerusalem was going. We replied, it was very good, as always, staying there. She knew, get this, she knew of our Bible ministry with some of the staff. We've gained a good reputation there for being Bible teachers, preachers, and distributors. She knew of our Bible ministry with some of the staff, and she was open to our sharing the word of the gospel with her. We shared that the main message of the Bible is the story of redemption summed up in the coming of Yeshua the Messiah, who suffered, died, rose again in Jerusalem to give us salvation, eternal life, and ultimate victory over death. That's why it's called good news. John 3:16, 1 Corinthians 15:51 through 57. Rama heard us gladly, received an Arabic gospel tract and Bible to learn more of what we shared with her. And out of respect for her, she did not want her picture taken, but we had, well, I'll talk about her sister later that we witnessed to. We didn't know it was her sister. But word gets around about us, whether good or bad. Yeah. Okay, so we at the Hadar Mall, H-A-D-A-R, which is one of the months in the Jewish calendar, at the Hadar Mall, we spoke with Tova, which means good. We spoke with her how Yeshua is the completion and fulfillment of biblical Judaism and to believe in him as Messiah for salvation is the most important Jewish thing one can do since salvation is of the Jews. John 4:22. The Lord then gave us favor to speak with her on this point. I'm showing her a track there. Let me pull it out here. We were talking to her about God's prophetic plan and program from Israel from Mitzrayim, what we call the Exodus from Egypt. In Hebrew, it's Mitzrayim, to the second coming of Yeshua the Messiah. And she was intrigued by that, fascinated by it. And to learn more about this marvelous Messiah, she also accepted the scriptures from us. Do we have the Bible down there?
No.
No, okay. But we did give her more.
There he is.
Okay, yeah. So there's the whole trio right there, folks, the package. Do I have the other? I have the L'chaim track, nope, it's not in here. But we gave her this plus the L'chaim track. And, of course, most importantly, the word of God. The Lord then gave us favor with Mayan, an Orthodox Jewish lady. She listened to our case for Yeshua being the Messiah and the New Testament being an indispensable part of the Hebrew Bible. Because of her Orthodox background, Mayan was taught that the New Testament and Yeshua is not for the Jewish people. And of course, she echoed that assumption to us. And upon hearing that, you know where we're going to go with this. Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34. August and I cited for her as proof that Yeshua and the New Testament should be a part of the Jewish Bible and hence read and accepted by Jewish people. We cited for her the word of the Lord from Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34, stating that God will give the Berit Chadashah, the New Testament, to Israel. Amazingly, when August and I appealed for her to accept a Messianic gospel tracts and a complete Hebrew Bible with a New Testament as a profound token in our love and gratitude for all that God gave to us through the Jewish people, Mayan received them with an open and grateful heart. Now, whether she reads them or not, that's not up to us. We did our job. We put the word of God in her hands and she heard the gospel. Amen. Remember, when you're witnessing, you're not responsible for trying to convince and persuade people, although the Lord can use those abilities. You are to give witness of what God has already done in Yeshua the Messiah, whether Jew or Gentile, and leave the results up to God. So many people approach evangelism with a numbers mentality in that they've got to convince people and get them saved. No, you just share the gospel with them through the Spirit's power and leave the results to God. Amen. Knowing from the outset, the Lord knows them that are his, as Paul told Timothy. All right. The next day, the Lord gave us great ministry on Ben Yehuda Street in the modern city of Jerusalem. August and I met and ministered to an amenable Arab man, Mortis. You see me with Mortis here. His welcome of the gospel and the Bible we gave him was greeted with great joy at having and learning and hearing what Yeshua did to save him, Luke 2:10. Mortis embraced the scriptures and said he looked forward to studying and reading the Arabic gospel tract and Hebrew Bible we gave him. In fact, he said, I look forward to reading this in my office. It was in a parking garage. And we've actually known this guy several times before, because when we go to Ben Yehuda Street, the most famous street in the world, and certainly the place to go when you're in the modern city of Jerusalem, you have to park. You know, there's no parking on Ben Yehuda Street. And we met him last time we were there, and this time, you know, we need to witness to this guy. And when you do this enough times, and you work with such a good, a solid, passionate partner like August Rosado, guys, you don't even have to say anything to each other. You just look at each other, and you know. That's how well-coordinated we are, joined at the hip. And we knew this guy was open. And sometimes when we're in a shop or in a location and we're sizing up someone to sit and listening to the Spirit, we'll look at each other and we'll either go like this or... And most of the time, when we give an affirmative gesture or a negative gesture, we're usually right. Not 100% of the time, of course, but most of the time. So August and I, we walked into a Judaica shop. A young Jewish man by the name of Adel warmly greeted us and was happy to learn the messianic link of Yeshua that connects both testaments together. Adel not only agreed with that fact, but chimed in that both the Old New Testament and New Testaments are indeed joined together through the vital connection of the Mashiach, the Messiah. He further added that this is an undeniable fact, and anyone who denies this, quote, simply doesn't know what he is talking about. And I think we made reference to the modern day rabbis, if memory serves me correctly, when he said that. Adele took a complete Jewish Bible from us with accompanying gospel tracts to further deepen his understanding of what he already knew and what August and I shared about Yeshua, the King Messiah. And we, of course, emphasized that that Yeshua is the only one who fulfills and joins together both the Old and the New Covenant, or the Old and the New Testament, as revealed in the Word. And then at another Judaica shop, August and I met and witnessed to Eliyahu, or Elijah. Elijah was an elderly man who owned and operated his gift shop for 46 years. He looks good for his age. 46 years this man has been running his Judaica gift shop. He told us he knew many pastors and Christian leaders over the years who had visited his shop. And when we mentioned how both testaments of the Bible are joined together, Elijah said it was true and agreed about how Yeshua is the central link via his fulfillment of first coming messianic prophecies. So undoubtedly, he's heard this over the years from other Christians, serious Bible believing Christians, who felt impressed to share with him. And so check this out. So as we were talking about this, and we mentioned the Brit Hadashah being the fulfillment of the Brit Yeshanah, the Old Covenant, he smiled big and wide and hurriedly ran over to his counter, behind his counter, and pulled out a dusty Old Testament volume that he had read years ago. And he told us that he had read it, but then we said we have something better than just the Brit Hadashah. We have both, because both are inseparably connected. I'll never forget what Tom McCall said to me one time. He says he loved what we were doing over there, supported us like Zola did. And he said, I'm glad you are not giving them the amputated Bible. Because when we first started this outreach, about a year into it, we were only handing out Brit Hadashahs, because we couldn't get one like this. But once we were able to have access to both, that's the way to go. You have to give them both, right? And when we gave him one of these Bibles, it's a little bigger than this one I'm holding. When we gave him this, he was giddy as a child at Christmas, or at Hanukkah, because it was Hanukkah. And he told us he eagerly accepted not only the Bible with both testaments in it, but he also accepted the Messianic gospel tracts, and he said, good, now I can read both together as one. And we rejoice and praise God how the Holy Spirit is consistently using this ministry to open the eyes of Israel to see Yeshua the Messiah from their scriptures, Luke 24:44-46. Amen. Well, and after we finished the day of evangelism, we went to the Valley of Gehenna. This was the abominable place in the Old Testament prior to the Babylonian exile, where many inhabitants of Jerusalem offered up their infant children as human sacrifices to the gods of Baal, Molech, and so forth. During the intertestamental period, before Jesus came, it became the garbage dumping ground of Jerusalem, where they were constantly burning trash and refuse. And Jesus will use this place as an example of the eternal conscious torment and duration of hell. And remember when he said, where the worm, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. He was referring to the perennial garbage that was burning in the valley of Gehenna 24/7. All right, go ahead. And we did a teaching there. I don't know if we took the picture. It's now a city park, a verdant city park now. Beautiful area. Who would have thought this was the place of such heinous acts as child sacrifice? But it was later to become a picture of hell. This area is Al-Kadima, the field of blood, where Judas Iscariot hung himself and his body broke under the weight. The weight of the tree gave way under the weight of his body, and he fell headlong down and was disemboweled, according to the gospel accounts and Peter's account in Acts 1. So we did a teaching on here. Was Judas saved? And I can dogmatically and unequivocally tell you that no, he was never saved to begin with. Jesus called him the son of perdition, called him a devil, and said it would have been better if this man had not been born. You don't say that to saved people. And remember what he said in John 6. Have I not chosen you 12, and yet one of you is a devil? So we did a teaching on Judas Iscariot here, under the hill where he hung himself. And I learned this from a reliable, certified, licensed tour guide, Zvi Rave, God rest his soul. My first trip to Israel, we were eating at a Panorama. It's no longer there. A restaurant that's on the other side. And he, in his thick Israeli accent, says, you want to see where Judas hung himself? And he pointed. He said, that's the field of blood. That's the area where the man, the son of perdition, hung himself. And after he died, because of the weight of his body, the branch broke and he went tumbling. And it's very jagged, so you could see how someone's body, as it's tumbling down the cliff, could easily become disemboweled. So we did a teaching on that. It's available on August Rosado's YouTube channel. And go there and watch us. We did teach there. There it is. Okay. The next day, our hearts were heavy because we knew this gospel outreach, sadly, was coming to an end. We were prepared for the four-hour drive to a lot. But in the morning at the hotel in Jerusalem, we shared the gospel with a young Arab female worker. Her name was Sasson. We had witnessed to her sister a few years ago, who also worked at the hotel. Sasson heard the gospel of promise and hope in Yeshua and received a copy of the scriptures with an Arabic gospel tract. Amen. So we made the long drive to a lot. And once we arrived there, we went directly to the ice mall. There's Sasson. And the ice mall is in Eilat. It's a mall that's in the shape of a giant igloo. And the reason is because they have an ice rink, a skating rink in there. And we've had good ministry there. The ice mall has been a great fishing hole, spiritually speaking, where we've had great ministry in the past. This time proved to also be successful. August 9 met Moore, M-O-R, working at a Garmin watch store. Garmin no longer makes GPS stuff that you stick on your windshield because cars have them now. So they switched to making watches similar to the Apple watch that some of you have. Moore was surprised to learn from us that Yeshua was a Torah observant Jew. Moore thought Jesus came to start a new religion, which is not true. Christianity is not a new religion, people. To quote Edith Schaeffer's title on her excellent book, Christianity is Jewish, biblical Christianity. It is the fulfillment of biblical Judaism. But he thought that Jesus was not for the Jewish people. He came to displace biblical Judaism with a new religion. Well, August and I corrected this idea by pointing out what Yeshua said in Matthew 5:17. He stated there, think not that I have come to destroy the law and the prophets. I have not come to destroy, but to fulfill them. And so from that, we told more that Jesus did not come to start a new religion, but to fulfill biblical Judaism by bringing the Berit Hadashah to Israel, as prophesied in Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34. Now, we told him, we come to offer that to you in the Tanakh and Berit Hadashah of the Hebrew Scriptures. Moore's misconception about Yeshua was cleared up, so much so that he was all too willing to hear the gospel and receive a complete Hebrew Bible with Messianic gospel tracts. Amen. And moving on, we then met Amir. August is here with Amir, showing him some of our gospel, Messianic gospel literature. Amir was also open to hear the good news of Yeshua and what he did in his death and resurrection for this open and receptive Druze. He was a Druze who loves Israel. He was elated at hearing what we shared from the Word of God. He was deeply grateful to accept a Bible and an Arabic gospel tract from us. He told us that he had read and enjoyed Mishlei. Mishlei is Hebrew for the book of Proverbs. When he said, I love reading Mishlei, I knew exactly what he was talking about. But we added, now you have the complete word of God about the Messiah and Savior of the world. Amen. And then we finally went to our hotel to check in, and the gospel ministry was not done yet. It was not done yet. There at our hotel, we found both Yehudit and Navot to be accepting of the Jewish Jesus and how the Hebrew Bible reveals and points to him alone to be the Messiah of Israel. Yehudit also accepted prayers from us as she goes into the IDF in about 3 months. Navot and Yehudit not only received Bibles and Messianic gospel tracts, but when we left, they began intensely reading through what we gave them. Now, the Yehudit picture is out of sync on here. It's the very last picture in this cycle. Yeah, no, go to the, there's Yehudit. And they were both very glad, very open to hear the good news of Yeshua. By the way, we had already passed out our Bibles. The last night we were there, there was a lounge singer. And she had very good voice and all that. And so I decided to go up and give her a 20 shekel tip. Turns out, her name was Maya, I believe. Turns out she was an atheist. So we started talking about the incoherency of atheism and how design and creation obviously points to a transcendent and grand designer. And then I will say this. All the atheists I've met in Israel are nice, they're respectful, and they're open. Here and in Europe, they're arrogant, irascible, and total jerks. But in Israel, I can't explain it. I think my theory is the reason why atheists in Israel are not the way they are here or in Europe is because they know deep in the back of their minds they have a sacred history. Anyway, so I got to talking to her, and we didn't get a picture of her. But I planted some seed with her, but... I said, when I told her about my background as a militant atheist, and she had to admit that she could not prove with absolute certainty there is no God because she doesn't have the epistemic or the all of knowledge access to the universe and any dimensions beyond this to make that statement. She honestly admitted that I was right, and I said, so at best we can call you an agnostic, one who doubts the existence of God, and she admitted that. And then when the Bible was brought in, the whole reason why this came up is because she asked why we had come to Israel. And of course, that opened the door and I took advantage of it. She said there is no proof and all that. So I told her about the phenomena of fulfilled prophecy after prophecy in the Bible about events that were told well beforehand. And we have historical documentation that they weren't written after the events in the future tense to make it look like it was, you know, predicted. And again, she basically, listen, didn't offer any refutation. Now, I don't know if she was just being polite because she works for the hotel, so she don't want to offend the clientele, or the Lord was doing something. I will say if she's there next time when we go to a lot, she will be getting, if she's open to receiving it, the scriptures and gospel tracts, and we'll continue to witness her. She had a great voice, though, great singing voice. So little did I know that that would open up for a witness. But that was on the last day. And once we got to our hotel room, this year, looking at the beautiful Red Sea, and about 40 miles south of there was the area where God opened up the Red Sea, and Moses and the children of Israel walked right through. So that is the beautiful Red Sea, as you see here. Okay, that's a video. We don't need to do that. All right, so our first full day in a lot, or a second day, I should say, we had great supernatural favor from Ha'adon Yeshua, the Lord Jesus, bringing his gospel to the beloved Jewish people in Eilat. It all started in the morning with Opaz, who was an IDF veteran of the recent war with Hamas in Gaza. August and I thanked him for his brave service fighting against anti-Semitic terrorists there. We told him that we come back to Israel to personally thank the Jewish people for giving us the Bible, Jesus the Messiah, and our saving faith, Romans 3:2, Romans 9:4-5. As a token of our gratitude and sign of love for this, we told Opaz we have to return the salvation of Yeshua the Messiah and the Word of God to a Jewish person like him. Opaz was overwhelmed with gratitude and received a Hebrew Bible and Messianic Gospel tracts. Amen. And so we have Yelena. She opened up to us when August and I reached out with the Jewish Gospel tour. She is a Ukrainian Jew who made Aliyah to Israel from the Ukraine. Once we learned that fact, we told her that her return to Israel was indeed an end-time fulfillment of biblical prophecy foretelling how the Lord would bring the Jews back from the far north country. Countries like, I should say, not just country, but countries like the Ukraine and Russia, Isaiah 43:6, Jeremiah 31:8. Yelena was deeply touched about hearing what Yeshua did to save her, and she, through our witness and through giving the scriptures to her, she could now know this great, in great and glorious detail. She received a complete Hebrew Bible with Messianic reading materials from us as a Hanukkah gift to her. So then we went to the Ezarelli Mall next. And what do you think's happening here? You see the scriptures that we've given her, a little bit bigger volume than this one. But this woman's name was Noah, N-O-I. She was an Israeli woman who sells jewelry at the Ezarelli Mall. The Spirit of God also opened her heart to listen and receive the biblical proof Yeshua is the Messiah. She accepted our offer to receive a Hebrew Bible with a New Testament that includes, by the way, in these Bibles, includes an extensive appendix of the Messianic prophecies Yeshua fulfilled, all in Hebrew, by the way. All in Hebrew. This is all in Hebrew. So, all right, she was very, very nice to us, very open, and that was a nice time of ministry there, folks. All right, well, Kinneret, this lady's name was Kinneret. She displayed the same open-mindedness about Yeshua being the Messiah of Israel. By the way, we reminded her, she knew, we reminded her that her name was the same Hebrew name for the Sea of Galilee. Kinneret, which means heart, because the Sea of Galilee is in the shape of a harp, musical instrument. We told her that this was the area around Kinneret where Yeshua did much of his teaching and miracles in the Gospels. Kinneret, wanting to learn more about the greatest Jew of all, joyfully took a copy of the Hebrew Scriptures from us with Messianic study materials to help her see this Yeshua is both Lord and Messiah. Amen. So let me just say this. On this outreach, as with all the 58 outreaches before it, now Israel has heard of the glorious gospel of salvation in Yeshua as revealed in both testaments of the Hebrew Scriptures. And we resoundingly say in praise to God, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sits upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Revelation 5:13. So folks, this isn't the end. Look at the beautiful blue tone to the Red Sea. This isn't the end of an outreach. It is the continuation of all the other outreaches before it. And may I say, praise the Lord, that in April 12th through the 26th, this ministry will embark on its 60th gospel outreach, which will commence the 26 years that we have done these gospel outreaches to mainly to the Jewish people in Israel and then to non-Jews like the Arabs. And I want to thank all of you who have supported this ministry. I want to thank Mark Levitt, son of Zola Levitt, for believing in these ministries and helping us significantly with our airfare and our hotels and so forth. Thank you that when I first started going to Israel, it was before Zola Levitt and his ministry decided to support us. They were understandably skeptical about it. And then when we came back and I told them the great things that happened, the universal receptivity, Zola on his own initiative, of course, by the Spirit of God prompting him to start a To the Jew First Fund. And they greatly help us in these outreaches. But you also help us too, because we want to, we not only need funds for these gospel outreaches to Israel, but to do this ministry full time, which includes teaching. It includes pastoring the small congregation. And it includes researching so that we can write in-depth, informative, biblical reading material and books so that the body of Christ can be equipped, edified, and educated. So folks, we ended up passing out 38 Bibles on this 59th gospel outreach. And we need to pray for these people. If somebody stands out with you and the Lord puts it on your heart, pray for them. We do know, though, from Scripture, that God's word will not return void. It's either going to produce salvation or it's going to produce judgment. The word of God is not, it's not sterile. It's not ineffective. It will produce either salvation or judgment. We pray, of course, since God is not willing that any should perish, that it will produce salvation in these precious Israelis and Arab peoples, that God will water the seed that we've planted. He'll send other people, other believers, to water the seed we've planted, and that there will be a great reaping in the end, which we know it is the Lord who plants, it is the Lord who waters, and it's the Lord who gives increase, and he condescends to use human agents like ourselves. So folks, let me remind you again, we will be back in Israel, Lord willing, in April, and we need your help. We need your support. If you're interested in supporting this ministry, as we bring the good news of Yeshua the Messiah back to his ethnic brothers and sisters in Israel, then click on our donate link there that's below the title of tonight's message, and it will take you to our safe and secure donation link where you can make a tax-deductible donation. Next week, we will be back in our topical series, The Kingdom of God. We're going to look at the universal aspect of God's kingdom and the kingdom of God in creation. If you remember way back when, it seems like it was eons ago, the last time we studied the kingdom of God, we were dealing with the kingdom of God over the angelic realm. And so this time we will be looking at the kingdom of God from its universalistic aspect, domain, and how it first was manifested in creation. And then 2 weeks, we'll be back in the book of Jeremiah, starting in Jeremiah chapter 4. Again, we want to thank you folks for your time, your attention, your support, and your prayers for this ministry. So I will be back, God willing, with you Thursday, late morning for our Search the Scriptures study. We'll be, again, tackling the problem of evil and how that problem has been answered by the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ in great detail. Well, until then, Shalom Yeshua HaMashiach Alechem. May the peace of Jesus, the Messiah, be with you.